You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is All Things Therapy, where we are changing consciousness one conversation at a time. And I'm Lisa Tahir, your host.
Hello there. Welcome to All Things Therapy Podcast. I'm Lisa Tahir, your host, and I am really delighted to have today's guest on the show because a couple of you listening, friends of mine, have had to have explants, breast explants. And today, Dr. Robert Whitfield, who is a board-certified plastic surgeon with over 26 years of experience, is on the show. Dr. Rob is a pioneer in treating BII, breast implant illness, and has developed protocols for holistic recovery, preparing you beforehand for explant surgery and after surgery, customizing your care so that you have an accelerated healing experience by way of his HARP process, which we are going to talk about. Dr. Rob, I'm going to bring you into the stream.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I am so happy to have you on. And where do you want to start with talking to us about BII? You are known as America's breast implant illness expert. Where do we begin?
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion around breast implant illness and how it's, whether it's perceived to be a real thing or not. I've many patients come to me who are, not just confused sometimes, but distraught, and they've sought out consultations with maybe their surgeons, maybe a rheumatologist, a functional provider, a general practitioner, an OBGYN. I think if you can name somebody, I've heard that. And it's, I would start by saying, like, when someone's in front of us discussing their symptoms, whether it's in person or virtually on a discovery session, one, understand it's a problem. We accept that. And I testified at the FDA hearings about this in 2019. Mm-hmm. Implant illness is a problem. And understanding it better through research is the best way to, you know, provide clarification about it. And in our personal audit of, and my research on my study, or in my study personally, about 30% of the time, there's a biofilm involved with breast implant illness. In my experience, and that's over 1,800 implants at this point I've taken out. So a biofilm is a contaminant, and that contaminant creates, we'll say, a little coat around itself, and it could be a bacteria, a fungus, a mycobacterium, and that makes your immune system really kind of not know what to do with it. It reacts to it, but it can't really resolve it. You have a very eloquent system to care for you in times of stress or infection or what have you. And when you have a biofilm, it just makes it so it's hard to eradicate. And so I liken it to, I call it being the hamster in the wheel. You're just going round and round and round and round and round, and nothing's happening. And as that happens, your body signals that, you know, you have inflammation, and it goes from acute inflammation to what we call chronic inflammation. Mm-hmm. And when you have chronic inflammation, you experience more and more symptoms. Mm-hmm. And these symptoms in my practice get worsened by people who get a mold exposure, people who may have difficulty in their diets by getting quality foods. They may have problems in their water supply. Water supplies are notorious for having things like arsenic in them. So mm-hmm. there's lots of things that contribute from an environmental standpoint, a heavy metal standpoint, certainly mold can contribute. You can have all these different things rolling around. And then if you didn't pick your parents right or have a really poor diet, it's all exacerbated. And once you kind of reach the end of your rope, you just are, you know, maybe not able to get out of bed. You can't maybe remember things. You can't function in your job anymore. You can't take care of your kids. You can't help out with your family. It's very disconcerting to your significant other, your spouse, your family. Like, what is going on with you? So it runs a gamut of everything. And it's much more complicated by the virtue of that. When you look at someone and examine them, there's not very simple things to tip you off that there's a problem. So for lack of a better short story, that's the more in-depth Dr. Rob version.
You know, I noticed in your work that in 2019, you started PCR testing to check for other infections. And was that as a result of noticing the biofilm and systemic issues that were happening along with BII that led you to do that?
Yeah, sure. The thing that convinced me to go to the PCR testing, much like we found out during the pandemic, it's a more accurate or sensitive and specific way to identify what's going on. Traditional lab testing relies on cultures, like taking little Q-tip swabs and rubbing it on the area you're trying to see if it's got infection or not. And then that goes to a lab, it's incubated, and then they tell you, yes, no, it's sensitive to this antibiotic, but not this one. And that's traditional lab testing. The PCR testing doesn't give you any of the antibiotic information that you can utilize for therapy, but it does tell you more specifically what it is and is it there or not. And so I rely on it more heavily because in my experience in particular, Cutibacterium acnes is the main bacterial contaminant. Lots of things are written about mold and fungus on the internet, but they don't hold up to scrutiny when you look at a study. So I've done, I think in our paper we're publishing shortly, over 900 consecutive samples using PCR testing, and only a handful of those, say, I believe it's five, have fungus out of 900. So it's not a thing that you can report on and say, like, this is really the issue. The issue is bacteria, and it's Cutibacterium acnes, and to a lesser degree, some of the skin bacteria. But that's the reality of the problem.
Dr. Rob, I'm curious what led you to this work, because you're so passionate about it, to really help women recover. How did this come about in your personal life, where it meets your professional life?
Well, I had a breast cancer patient in 2016 because my history is taking care of cancer patients. So I did oncologic reconstructive plastic surgery for the majority of my career. In 2016, I had a patient with a breast cancer reconstruction that was done with an implant by an outside group in Atlanta, relocate to Austin and ask through consultation with us in person to remove her reconstruction and go flat. And so we did her assessment, which I do all my assessments in person prior to surgery. You know, we review all the data and everything, and there was no specific underlying issues that we could identify through laboratory analysis, any x-rays, any CAT scans, MRIs, or physical examination. But she did complain of fatigue. Now, everybody should understand who's listening. Once you've had chemotherapy and or radiation therapy or other therapies, you can have chronic fatigue due to bone marrow suppression. So that's a pretty routine finding in patients who've had those therapies. And I did her surgery. I removed all the material intact as I was taught to remain, you know, oncologically sound, because recurrent cancer is a problem in these cases and or infection. So we always checked for recurrent cancer and we always checked for an infection when we did these cases. And on her follow-up, her studies that look for recurrent cancer, which were her pathology reports, they indicated that she had no recurrent disease. So that's first and foremost the most important thing. Yeah. Her reports that looked for signs of infection showed that she had an E. coli infection that was active. And so I went back and was like, how did I miss an E. coli?
Mm-hmm.
And I do all the exams. We have all the photos. I have all the reports and notes, and I couldn't find anything. So that was super frustrating to me. And I said, okay, well, we treated her based on the pattern of sensitivity to antibiotics and helped her with that. And her fatigue went away. So her fatigue was not bone marrow suppression. Her fatigue was an infection. So I believe she put me on a message board or a Facebook group or something of that nature, because I just had people start calling the office to have their implants removed, to have explants removed.
Yeah.
And basically the next kind of event that changed how I do things happened at the end of 2018. And I was taking care of a patient who had a family member in Austin, and they wanted to stay with their family member and have surgery with us. So I did their explant surgery. They had no signs of anything on examination, but her background led me to believe that she could potentially have an infection. She was an ICU nurse, had tons of fatigue.
Oh, wow.
And healthcare professionals are uniquely exposed to things that other people never would get exposed to.
Yeah.
So it's very simple. If you, in my mind, I'm like, ugh, this is probably bad. So I took care of her, and her surgery went very well. I removed the devices with the material intact.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
And then I, after I close and I look at everything, our custom is to take pictures and or videos or both at the time of surgery once we're all done. And I cut the capsule and have a look at the underlying implant and look at its integrity, see if it's ruptured or anything like that. And this was a very, I call it slimy, but it had this kind of goo on it. And it wasn't ruptured, so that usually means it's a biofilm and it's infected. So we sent it off. I went out confidently and told the significant other, I'm like, I feel like this is infected. I feel like she's going to get better. And we just have to wait for the laboratory studies to come back. And when they came back in about a week, it said there was nothing suspicious on them.
Huh.
And so in my mind, I knew that was wrong.
Yeah.
So I spoke to a laboratory in Texas that did research, and they would offer a rate for us to be able to do a study and get back the information that would be most important to the client and us, which is accurate information, of course.
Yes.
And so since I guess it's February 14th, 2019, we've only done PCR testing for our samples. So we have the largest series of PCR tested samples in the world.
That's amazing.
And predominantly, it's Cutibacterium acnes.
Okay. It's so important what you're doing.
Well, we feel like you have to put... everybody wants to have good data when they speak. I try always to have the best information I can about what I'm speaking about. And sometimes I'm not perfect at it, but I always try.
No, it's obvious that you're conscientious and you really care. And the reviews show that as well. When I went to your website, which I'll share with our audience, drrobertwhitfield.com, doctor is DR, so many satisfied patients. It just really touched me, like your level of care.
Well, when we were taking care of patients initially, I would help as much as I could surgically, but I didn't have all the answers for everything else that was going on. So our HEART program, which will become our strategic holistic accelerated recovery program this year with a couple new additions. But HARP is based on looking at your genetics, your toxic load, your food sensitivities, your gut health, and your hormone balance. That's the main things that we're interested in evaluating to put you in a better position for success after surgery. I don't like reacting to anything. I want to do our best to always prepare you the best. And so I've written a book about this that will be coming out this year. And then we're going to level up the program some more and using biometric devices and certain peptides that are available that will further upregulate what we can do for patients to help them recover in a efficient way. Because obviously everybody wants me to help them get back as quickly as possible so they can do their activities and be available to their loved ones and family.
You know, I liked in your work where you spoke about just how people recover at different rates from surgery and why is it that the same surgery might have different outcomes on different people. And that's where you were talking about HARP and how preparing the body for to receive surgery and then to heal afterwards. I know you use supplements, you have a supplement line. Will you talk about that? I really liked that.
Right. So everything is really rooted in your personal genetics. So each person has a playbook. It's your genetic playbook. So a simple saliva test will be done. And in 2 to 6 weeks, we'll have that report back. But my specific supplementation is based on those reports already. So although we want to have your specific report, we already have a plan for what we're going to do to lower inflammation. So the inflammation support bundle is based on genetic results, not me doodling on a cocktail napkin. So those are very specific.
Yeah.
And then they're meant to help people who have a lot of problems with their GI tract or just in general have trouble with taking pills or remembering, which all those things are mentioned as barriers to compliance when we're trying to get this underway to help you. So many of them are liquids. So they're liposomal and they're like once a day. So compliance is best when you can do things, of course, once a day and you can remember to do them. So it becomes your ritual, right? We do things better when we have a ritual or a tradition around doing them. So if you make that your, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to give myself positive affirmations. I'm going to be in the right mindset. That's our client. That's what we want to take and help you with. And with our supplementation and our HARP program, we feel very confident that we can, you know, move recovery at a pace that hasn't been seen in the past.
Yeah. And your supplements, so people even that you're not treating for BII can take your supplements to reduce inflammation is
right. So if we just look at inflammation as the bugger, the thing that really affects aging, we always want to reduce inflammation. When your inflammation is lowest, you should feel best. You should feel best and get the best rest. You should have the best diet to help facilitate getting the best rest. If you can't rest, you can't recover. So we're all very focused on that for our patients, whether it's cutting out gluten and dairy in their diet, no processed foods, supplementation that's proper, treating according to functional testing, and then really getting people in the right mindset, understanding like the 3-2-1, if you will. So stop eating and drinking, you know, 3 hours before bed, 2 hours before bed, no screens an hour before bed so that your mind can rest and then get you, you need to get into deep sleep to recover. If you don't, you never will recover.
Yes, that's so true.
That's probably mindset, sleep, mindset more than anything. This is a very difficult, you know, discussion to have with folks. They get a little bit offended when I say you have to have the right mindset. And it's not to be, I'm not picking on anybody, but if you come in super negative and you're always going to be negative about it, then what am I going to do to change that for you? Surgery doesn't change negativity.
100%. It's an inside job. And I love hearing you as a physician talk about this, because as a therapist, I really try to help people with their mindset, be it going into surgery or whatever it is, because it really dictates the outcomes that we'll experience.
So when people have a lot of pain, which you can imagine, I see people have a lot of pain.
Yeah.
So for the audience, there's lots of books. The author Sarno wrote about book. There's lots of books that talk about your mind as it relates to pain and your perception of pain. So there's biologic factors, psychological factors, and social factors that contribute to pain. I can control a lot of biologic things, but mindset is a psychological factor that I cannot control for you. But I know it when I see it. I know it when I hear it. I know when I see text threads about it in my patient portal. Yes. And then social factors are super stressful to people, their environments, you know, what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Once again, we have no control outside of our clinic over that. So these are, if you look at those equations and weight them the same, that's 2/3 of the equation I can't control for you. And if you're non-compliant with therapeutic offerings or what we suggest in the first third, how am I ever going to get you to the other side of that problem?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a lot of work. Nobody in my clinic says it's not.
Right.
But, you know, you have to do that in order to get through the process. And we're interested in helping those who really, really are interested in doing the work on themselves, both before, after, and during the process. And, you know, working with providers like you is a key component of that. I can't do all of this myself. I don't claim to be a therapist. I try to listen as carefully as possible, but there's certainly things out of my realm.
I appreciate that. And I know you're located in Austin, Texas. If someone is listening to us, watching us right now and interested in reaching out to you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, I think the best person to get involved with us is someone who's taken in our information and understands our culture and our programming. So my podcast is Breast Implant Illness with Dr. Robert Whitfield. You can follow us on at Breast Implant Illness Expert on Instagram. We have a URL, breastimplantillnessexpert.com, where all the information is housed. It relocates from my drrobertwhitfield.com, which was mentioned previously, and we're on YouTube at Breast Implant Illness Expert. So we try to put out as much content. I know I need to do more, but I am going to do better in 2024 to do more and put more out for everybody.
I think you're doing wonderfully. You have so much out there between your YouTube channel, Instagram, Facebook, and your website with videos that really, you know, we can feel your vibe. I notice that watching your videos, like your passion and commitment to helping women heal from BII really comes through.
That's a real problem. And our book will come out about the recovery program. And I'm going to write a book about BII this year. I don't know if it'll be out this year, but it'll be written this year. It's going to be the biggest issue over the next 10 years. So annually, about 360 to 400,000 women get breast implants. If you take that times 10 years, divide it by what I say is 30% is a problem with BioFem, you have 1 billion people with that specific issue.
Wow.
So we're interested in aligning with clinics and practitioners like yourself who understand and want to help. I'm here to serve, you know, people who don't know what they don't know, people who are, you know, obviously my clients will learn, and I'm happy to help with our content with clients of other doctors. I'm happy to help other practitioners, NPs, PAs, naturopaths, acupuncturists, MDs, DOs, surgeons, functional nutritionists, anybody interested in helping, you know, I'm happy, and my clinic's always happy to help. We'll teach doctors about the practice. We'll teach surgeons about the surgery. We're interested in serving and helping as many of the stakeholders as we can.
Dr. Rob, thank you for your time today and your expertise. I'm really delighted to be connected with you. This is awesome. You're awesome.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I hope you have a great rest of your afternoon, and I'm excited to get this show out today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That concludes today's show with Dr. Robert Whitfield, explant surgeon, expert in BII, breast implant illness. Reach out to him. You can find him on social media, Instagram, breast implant illness expert, as well as on YouTube. And y'all, I want to share with you, if you're looking to work with a practitioner, I am taking new clients, please reach out. And I want to give a shout out to my sponsor, Magic Mind. I drink Magic Mind along with my morning coffee. It's a nootropic that contains things like ashwagandha, vitamin C, cordyceps, and lion's mane mushrooms, things that help with inflammation, as Dr. Rob was talking about. Lowering inflammation in our bodies is key to aging well and avoiding more complicated health issues. Please try Magic Mind out with a discount as my listener, 56% off a subscription or 20% off a single order by going to magicmind.co/Lisa, my first name, and use Lisa as your discount code and check out Magic Mind. All of my love, and I'll be with you next week.
And that's a wrap. Thank you. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review All Things Therapy on the platform you're listening from. And let's connect on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at NOLA Therapy, the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy, reflecting my two favorite cities. And let's keep changing consciousness one conversation at a time.